Jaya Madhava Kundan Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kundan Bihari Jannamalabha Giri Varadhari Jai Gopi Jannamalabha Giri Varadhari Yashodanandana Bhajajanaranjana Yashodanandana Bhajajanaranjana Janana Piravana Chari Jamana Piravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Vishnava, Paramahamsa, Brahmacharya, Astotra, Rishi, Srimad, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Prabhupada ki jai. This can be the founder of Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnava, Paramahamsa, Brahmacharya, Astotra, Rishi, Srimad, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti, Siddhanta, Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Ananta Koti, Vaishnavanda ki jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Guntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Narayana Namaskritya Varam Charam Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jai Madhuriyat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashtapayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Seriya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktiyam Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil. And loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
on the second day of May 2012 in Alachua, Florida. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 10, Chapter 8, Lord Krishna shows the universal form. Text number 16. We'll read the synonyms first. Eshaha, this child. Vaha, for all of you people. Shreya, the most auspicious. Adhasyat, will act all auspiciously. Gopa Gokula Nandanaha, just like a coward boy, born in a family of coward men, as the son of the estate of Gokula. Anena, by him. Sarvadurgani, all kinds of miserable conditions. Yuyam, all of you. Anjaha, easily. Tadishyata, will overcome. Eshavakshreya adhasyad. Gopa Gokula Nandanaha, Anena Sarva Durgani, Yuyamanjas Tadishyatha, Eshavakshreya Adhasyad, Gopa Gokula Nandanaha, Anena Sarva Durgani, Yuyamanjas Tadishyatha, Eshavakshreya Adhasyad, Gopa Gokula Nandanaha, Anena Sarva Durgani, Yuyamanjas Tadishyatha. Eshavakshreya Adhasyad, Gopa Gokula Nandanaha, Anena Sarva Durgani. Translation: to increase the transcendental bliss of the coward men of Gokula, this child will always act auspiciously for you, and by his grace only, you will surpass all difficulties. Purport: for the coward men and the cows, Krishna is the supreme friend. Therefore, he is worshipped by the prayer, Namo Brahmana Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. His pastimes in Gokula, his dham, are always favorable to the Brahmins and the cows. His first business is to give all comfort to the cows and the Brahmins. In fact, comfort for the Brahmins is secondary, and comfort for the cows is his first concern. Because of his presence, all people would overcome all difficulties and always be situated in transcendental bliss. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmidatamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So, I'd like to read one verse in purport from the Bhagavad Gita, which was called to mind by this verse, especially this phrase, Sarva Durgani. Some of you may recognize that phrase. Near the end of the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, text 58, Krishna says, Machitta Sarva Durgani Matpasara Tarishyasi Ata Chaitra Mahankanam Nishosyasi Vinakshasi. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Short purport. A person in full Krishna consciousness is not duly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend who is so devotedly engaged working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego of the bodily concept of life. One should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. He is already under strict material laws. But as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated, free from the material perplexities. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool in the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. But a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, of course, these two verses have different focuses, you could say, although they share the central idea that persons or society or any group of people who are attached to Krishna, wholly and solely, are under his protection. And they will overcome all difficulties. Sarva Durgani Tarishyata, here it says in the Bhagavatam, similar in the Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna appears for many different reasons. And here what's being focused on is his, say, most intimate personal reason for enlivening, protecting the residents of Gokula. And enlivening mostly in the sense of engaging in all of these wonderful, sweet pastimes. But we should also remember that because it's Boma Vrindavan, after all, and we have the demon, Kamsa, who sent all of these horrible creatures to try to kill Krishna, there were many difficulties that arose. Putana was first, even Krishna was still in his bassinet, would we say, or his cradle. He wasn't walking. Could barely see, even it says later on. Could just open his eye. And immediately came this huge demon to disturb everything in Vrindavan, create a huge catastrophe by poisoning Krishna. You know? And they overcame that difficulty by Krishna's grace. Shakatasura, Trinavata, all of that was before even Garga Muni came to Gokula during the first year. And somehow or other, you know, Krishna was saved. Little baby Krishna, helpless little baby Krishna, they saw him as, was saved from these demons by the grace of Narayan and, you know, his good fortune. They had to protect him, put all of the mantras on, and they bathed him in cow urine and all of these different things. So they're seeing that, And it goes on. As you continue to read the 10th canto here, there are all of these sweet pastimes taking place. The whole Nanda Gokula is completely absorbed in Krishna and love. They're always thinking about him. And then periodically there are the difficulties to such a degree that they move from there and they go to Vrindavan proper. Right? They say, the best thing we can do for this place is leave it, because our being here, going, all these demons are coming, difficulties. So, and as is mentioned here, Krishna is primarily concerned with the welfare of the Brahmins and the cows, and the cows even more so than the Brahmins. Wherever the cows are religion personified, and when the cows are pleased, the milk is plentiful, the bulls are there, all of the economic difficulty is gone, and you have a simple agrarian society. And Krishna's a cowherd boy. He has this wonderful relationship with the cows, personally. Yesterday we were recalling, there may be 900,000 cows, but they all have names, they all have personal qualities. And some of you may not know that when Krishna comes back from the forest of Vrindavan, that's his job after all, you know, to herd the cows with the cowherd boys in the forest, you know. But the whole day is simply play, but there's also herding. And so when the time comes to come back, you have to gather all those cows. That's a lot of cows. So you know how he does it. They're all divided into 108 different groups according to form and color and personality. And each one of those groups has a leader that personify that different quality. There's a nice poem by Rupa Goswami in Ashtaka where he's describing Krishna coming back from the forest of Vrindavan to the town. And it describes how he's calling these groups of cows by calling the leaders of each group. Pashangi, Mandikastani, Panatashingi, Pingekshane, Vatangamati Dunmale, Shabali Hansi, Bangsi, Priye. It is so the vehicle, Tadadamava Yantang Buddha, Vajay Vijayanam Vajay, Vipindadeshita, Keshavam. So these are simple, a few samples of the names of the groups. Pishangi means reddish, yellow reddish. Manikastani, these cows have especially beautiful udders. The jewel udders, Manikastani. Panatashringi, one horn is bent. Pingekshane, little reddish eyes. Madangamukhi, who can guess what that means? Face like a madanga drum, right? Dumale, smoke colored. Shabali, multicolored. Hungsi, priye. Swan, flute. These are different, and most dear. So Krishna is calling them with great joy. And it's described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary to chapter 35 of the 10th canto, where it's described, Mani Bada Kuchadaga Nayanga, that Krishna's counting the cows, and he's got a jewel, like we have beads, 108 beads. He has 108 jewels, and each one of them represents one of the groups of cows. And when he calls them and they come, then that's one jewel he comes. Bishangi, and they all come, following the leader, you know, many thousands, right? And then that group is done. He goes to the next group. And when 108 are done, he knows he has all the cows ready to go back, and they start back. You don't want to leave any out in the forest. They all have to be coming. And it's describing also how these cows are so eager to see their calves. The calves are back in the cow pens in the town, right? So they're eager to go and offer milk to their calves who are in separation from the cows. So they're running ahead. They're starting to go off the path. Krishna calls them gently with love and bring them back on the path so things don't get disorganized. And of course, so much dust. Big cloud of dust is coming, very auspicious dust. Brudraj, right? And this all powders Krishna's hair and his peacock plume and his garland all gets this powder, his face is all powdered. And that adds to the beauty of Krishna. A little perspiration coming from the effort of herding the cows. And when they see that face with the perspiration, that just adds to the Krishna's attractiveness, making more attractive. So this is all these pastimes with the cows. In the Govinda the Ramad, even more names are given, you know. And the details of the joking that he's doing with the boys as they come back, they're all skilled in different kinds of joking, speaking gibberish, false arguments, you know, and insults, you know, friendly insults, pranks, all these different things. There's an art to the joking also. So these are, you know, Krishna's daily activities. He's spending a lot of time out in the forest with his friends and the cows and doing all these things. But every so often, there's some threatened disaster that comes. Right? Everything was going fine, and then the cows went to drink the water, and they died. And the boys died, you know, when Kaliya came. You know? Oh, you know, and so Krishna brought them all back to life. But then he jumped into the lake, the river lake, and he was enwrapped in these coils of this monstrous, multi-headed, poisonous serpent. You know? Delicate little body, Krishna. And all of the residents ran, not just the, you know, the residents included the animals, the insects, everybody was on the shore, and they were practically dead. They saw Krishna there, he was a goner. They didn't know he was the supreme personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu with all these powers. You can imagine. So this was a great durga. This was a great difficulty that just seemed, you know, it's the end of the world. And then, my Krishna, after an hour, practically everyone was on the point of death, he breaks out of the coils and he starts, you know, dancing powerfully and beautifully and gracefully on these hoods of the Kaliya serpent. You can imagine the jubilation. It's like all these residents just came back to life. Mother Yashoda and Nanda, they wanted to go into the lake. Forget the poison. We need to try to get it. So Krishna's constantly doing this and churning up the intense emotions in Vrindavan. If you study every pastime, there's always some intense emotion that's being evoked. Either fear for Krishna, you know, sometimes even, you know, the forest fire comes and they call out for Krishna's protection. That's also within bhakti, even though they're calling out for their own protection. That's okay. So there's never a dull moment. You know, it's never just like an ordinary, mundane, humdrum day in Vrindavan. You know, it's never like that. Every moment something's going on. And centered on Krishna. And even when Krishna's in the forest, then it describes how the gopis' minds would run after him. Like, he'd go to the forest, they'd be there churning, but their minds would follow him. And then they start singing. Remember, it's very interesting, chapter 35. The beginning says, in separation, their minds are running after him, so every day they unhappily spent their day, you know, like that. And after all the songs, at the end, the last verse says, in this way, the gopis would enjoy a festival every day. Well, he just said that they were miserable, you see. So this is the paradox of love and separation, that it invokes deep remembrance, absorption, which itself brings the bliss. The more intense the emotion is, the greater is the happiness and the bliss. This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Now, love and separation. Now, it means meeting and separation. Without meeting, there's no means of separation. So there's meeting and separation, but mostly it's separation. You know, how many, if you calculate. Of course, they had the night of Brahma with the rasa dance. That's another transcendental thing. But basically, it's mostly separation. But the intense absorption and thought of Krishna and all the details means that that's the most productive of the highest level of ananda and bliss. So this way, Garga Muni is encouraging Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj is extremely pleased to hear that his son is just like Narayan, that he has, you know, appeared in previous ages and all these wonders, and that he will protect them. And you see, when the dangers come, you know, this is really a test. When the biggest collective danger probably was this, when Indra sent the torrents of rain and hail, you know, as big as basketballs, because everything, it was a complete disaster was occurring. And just imagine if you had rain here so heavy that everything started to fill up, you know, and you couldn't perceive anything. It would be horrible. So that was a great danger. So they call on Krishna, you know, please say, we have no other shelter but you, you know. And of course he saved them. So we need to have that faith also. That's part of what it means for surrender. Anukulena sankalpa padikulyasya vajanam rakshasya titi vishraso gopit devadanam tata. These are six elements of atmanikshetha karpanye shadvada shadanagati. Six elements of surrender. One of this is rakshasya titi vishraso and gopit devadanam tata. Be confident in Krishna's protection. Now, one of the things that Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book in this section is that any society connected to Krishna will also be protected. And we can see over the 45-year history of this institution that at various times it seemed like it's over, you know, that we will never survive this blow or this whatever happens, you know. Mostly self-inflicted wounds, you know, let's be honest. But regardless of how these dangers came about, somehow or other, things are going on. The society is going on, and it's surviving. And individually, we can have the same faith. We must have the same faith. And because life, material life means facing so many difficulties. There's no question about it. You know, when you join the movement, most in the old days, everyone was young. I was 25. I was an old man when I joined, you know. Everyone was 20, 21, 18, right? And Prabhupada, you know, it's very clear. Open the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada lectures. You know, this material life is miserable, birth, old age, disease, and death. But it becomes kind of a little mantra. Yeah, birth, old age, disease, and death. You know, that's horrible. Well, here you are in full youth, you know. But then when you get to be 50, 60, 65, you know, it's no longer theoretical. You know, that old age, disease, and death is really difficult. And it's a cause of great apprehension, and especially if one is not Krishna conscious. Just look at what outside the realm of the Krishna consciousness movement. So much energy is placed in trying to mitigate these difficulties, this old age, disease, and death. The health, so-called health system in the United States takes about 10% of the gross national product, which means like, almost $2 trillion, you know, $1.7 trillion every year. Not much of it's wasted, obviously, but what does that mean? It means that everyone's trying to push back, you know, this disease, which is coming this way or that way. You know, and then you say, oh, we've conquered this disease now, there's no more smallpox, you know. But then there's some other disease get you from this side, you know, and so forth. There's always disease, there's always old age, there's always death. And it's a cause of huge anxiety. Just think of the insurance industry. Insurance industry is based on fear. Fear of death, fear of having an accident, fear of financial ruin, fear that someone will steal stuff from your house, fire, whatever it may be. All the dangers that are present in this world, adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidaivik, you try to protect yourself by insurance. But there's no insurance. It's like Aranyakashipu getting his blessings from Brahma. He thought he had insurance, right? Couldn't be killed in the day, couldn't be killed in the night, couldn't be killed by any, you know, living being or created living being. No weapons. How are they going to kill me? No weapons, right? But ultimately, Prabhupada says in reference to the binding of Krishna, always 2 inches too short, you know? So our plans for counteracting the material miseries in this world, material plans, Krishna is more intelligent, and Maya is more intelligent. And there's always something that comes up and that happens that we haven't planned for or whatever. But as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Machitta Sabadurani Matpasara Tadishisi, by my grace you will cross over all difficulties if you become conscious of me. Machitta, that's the key phrase. This is the end of the Bhagavad Gita. So he's coming to the verse, you know, Mummanabhavamadbhakto and Sarvadharma Padichyaja. But Ahankaram, what is it? Nashoshasi Vananchasi. Atachitram Ahankaram Nashoshasi Vananchasi. If out of false ego you do not hear me, you do not listen to Krishna, his instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and we continue acting on the basis of material desire, as Krishna mentions at the end of the 16th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, then we're not under the protection. We're under the care of the external energy. And her business is to punish us so that we eventually realize there is no shelter but Krishna. It's very graphic. And the wonderful thing is now there's some history. Even individually, we can look back. If we have some history and time in the Krishna consciousness movement, how somehow or other we were saved from difficulty. Sometimes it may just be an emotional disaster. All of the problem can be adiatmic, but it's still just as much suffering. And but we can find it all if we take shelter of Krishna, we chant Hare Krishna, we stay with the devotees, we worship, that we somehow pass through that difficulty. Whereas on the outside, without Krishna, what's their strategy? Pills, you know, some bogus process for mitigating things that just creates more misery, you know. Or, in the worst case, suicide. So many suicides from people who are at the end of their rope, desperate, you know, they can't take the emotional pain. So that's also a way in which Krishna saves us. If you face some, it may be financial, it may be health, it may be a loved one, you know, who dies or whatever. These are all blows to the psyche that can be devastating for anybody. But Krishna consciousness, sincere and intense Krishna, tivrena bhakti yoga, will mitigate those sufferings. And on the other side, the positive side, because why do we get into trouble in this world? Why do we suffer? Because we're trying to enjoy. What's the source of the dukkha? It's your trying to enjoy the senses. This is in the fifth chapter. It's straight Krishna consciousness. So that's a problem, because we are enjoying beings. We're part and parcel of Krishna. He's Anandamaya Dasat. He's by nature full of bliss, right? So we separated from ourselves and Krishna, but we're also looking for that bliss. But we're looking in the wrong place, in the sense gratification. So that produces suffering. So then if you don't have the channel of opening up the channel to the reservoir of pleasure, which is right in our hearts, right, what are you going to do? You know, yes, I know that drinking is no good for me, but it's but there's a certain pleasure there. I don't have any other way to drown my miseries. So I go again and again to that. You become addicted. Everything is an addiction. There's gross addictions to drugs and alcohol, and there's addictions to experiences, persons, TV shows, everything. You know, it's all part of the conditioned environment. So therefore, the ability or the qualification of being able to enjoy Krishna consciousness, of being blessed by Krishna with a taste for Krishna consciousness, so that you actually are experiencing some happiness there, that is the key for negating the material desires, which are the source of your misery. It's all part of one program. Yat bada pangita balasa balasa bhakti karamasa yamgudita mudgudita yanti santa. The son of Kumar explains to Maharaj Prithu near the end of his instructions in fourth canto. Prabhupada would quote this verse quite often. That yat bada pangita balasa balasa bhakti. That the devotees, they're enjoying serving the lotus feet of the Lord. That vilas, that pleasure. And because of that, the knots in the heart, which are metaphors for all of these attachments for trying to enjoy in this world, they're cut. They're loosened and finally cut. And others, including the gyanis, the yogis, not to speak of the karmis, those gross karmis, they cannot avoid the waves of material desire. They may do it for some time through force of will, but ultimately they're swept away. And so there's really no other shelter, no other possible way of getting mukti. This is describing mukti. Liberation from the thrall, the control of our material addictions that we've built up for millions of years in the material world. How do we deal with all of that? How to get rid of it? Only one way, through the sword of detachment, you know, which is sharpened by knowledge developed through bhakti yoga. This is mentioned in the 15th chapter. We're in this big banyan tree. The conditioned souls. I mean, there's a whole material world. We're wandering from branch to branch, leaf to leaf, trying to enjoy this, trying to get out of this problem, you know. But we're still in the tree. You may get to some different branch, you know, and think, oh, now I'm safe. But you're still in the tree. You're still entangled. You're still suffering. So you have to cut down that tree. You can't escape from it. You can't extricate any other way. You have to cut it at the root. And that root is material desire. Asanga shastrina buddhena chitva, says Krishna. Asanga shastrina means detachment, right? Shastrina. It's a weapon. It's a sharp knife. But that's not enough. then you have to search out. You have to immediately surrender to the Supreme Personality of God from whom everything is emanated. And it describes the process of surrender. Nirmana, moha, achitasangha, dosha, adhyatma, nitya, vinavitta, kama, dhunva, vamukta, sukaduka, sangha, gacchan, chimuda, padamambhinda. We have to become amudha. Now we're bewildered by the false ego. Right? We're thinking we're the doers, we're the enjoyers, prakate kriyamanani. So here, jitasangha dosha. Now that's an interesting phrase. Conquer over the faults of bad association. Really, that's what it means. We've all had, you know, so much association, so much attachments built. Sangha means association and attachment. Because whatever you associate with, you get attached. Sangat sanjayate kama. Right? So we've all got those subtle attachments from all this life in this material world. How to conquer over it? Well, we can't really conquer over it ourselves, but we can, by Krishna's grace, by Krishna's mercy, develop the sword of detachment and the sword of knowledge. They go together. This nice verse at the end of the 12th chapter, the fifth canto. Tasmat naro sanga susanga jata jnanasane naiva vivrikna moha harin tariha katanashutabhyam labdasmiti yat yatipavana madvana. Very nice verse, probably because it's a little purport. Talks about this is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. We're trying to do this. So he describes there how to develop the sword of knowledge to cut off the illusion, vivrikna moha. Asanga susanga. Not associating with the modes of nature and those who are in the modes of nature, and associating with devotees, sadhus. Tasmat naro, a human being, asanga susanga jata gives rise to jnanasina, the sword of knowledge. Krishna mentions in the fourth chapter, you know, this knowledge, so important in context with bhakti. Vivrikna moha. But that's not all. We don't just cut the tree of entanglement, of illusion. But harim tariha katana shutabhyam. And then hearing and chanting about the activities of Krishna, hari, labdha smriti, when he gains one's memory, one begins to remember his relationship with Krishna, reinstated, and yatatibhavana madhvana, and he proceeds nicely to the supreme goal, on the path back to the supreme personality of God. This is spoken by Jadbhat to Rahuna. So all of that we do, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he created this society in such a way that there's so much practice, there's so much service, and it's meant to provide that good association and that facility for developing the sword of knowledge, and of course for tasting the nectar of Krishna consciousness that covers all material desires, that is the only antidote to material desires, to the point where it's not even a desire anymore. You know, just like it's big desire, you know, why everyone comes to me, the sex desire. But we have the instruction, we have the evidence of Yamunacharya. You know, he is the king. Kings have all facility for enjoyment, you know. But he says, Yadavadi mama chaita krishna bara adabhinde nava nava rasadhanan yudhitam rantumasi tadavadi badamari sangame smayamani bhavati mukhavikaru sushchandishtivanamcha. He's actually feeling disgust. But the key is, ever since I've been enjoying constantly the rasa, the taste of the service of the lotus feet of Nanda Nandana, then this other, this pleasure, which is so prominent in the material world, that's distasteful, I just spit at it. You know, imagine that. But we have some experience like that. I remember I used to, you know, honestly speaking, I grew up meat eater, you know, like everybody else in Hempstead, New York, practically. I don't remember anyone who was a vegetarian at that time. And it was just an ordinary thing. You know, you're hungry, you go to McDonald's, they started, okay, it's terrible to even mention it. But, you know, when you come to Krishna consciousness and you eat prasadam and the wonderful taste and you learn what's really behind that meat, how the slaughter of the cows, you know, probably Krishna is so protecting of the cows, the very desire for it just goes. There's not a question that you have to control it or, you know, it's just disgusting, right? So there you have an example of how your own heart is changed by the process of knowledge and also getting the higher taste. We made a book about it, you're getting the higher taste with prasadam. But it's more than just, a gustatory experience. There's really something going on in the heart. And that can be there for every single one of the material desires. The very thought of material sense pleasure can be disgusting in all its varieties. Because you're always tasting the flow of devotional service. That's why Prabhupada says it's practically inconceivable. 24 hours a day, the pure devotee is serving. Well, how does that mean? Even in the sleep. Yes, even in the sleep. Experiencing the internal relation with Krishna. That's going on. So it may seem like a far shining island far away from us that we can experience. But at least we have to be determined to go in the right direction as fast as possible and as sincerely as possible. And we can begin to appreciate these wonderful pastimes. You're entering now into the 10th canto. I remember in reference to the great fortune of the residents of Vrindavan. Lord Brahma appreciates. In a few months, I guess, or maybe weeks, you'll come across the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. Very important. These are the prayers of Brahma, And after all his prayers in which he, has his, he's Brahma, so Narayanastam Mahisarabhayanam. It's a very important prayer. It's quoted like 4 or 5 times in the CC. But Brahma says of little Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in Vrindavan, that you are Narayan. You are my father. You are the source of all beings, So, yes, Krishna is. But then after all of that, he says, Oho bhagyam, nanna gopa vajalkasam, yan mitram padamanandam, brahma purnam sanatana. How fortunate are all these residents of Nanda Gokula. That's exactly what's here. Because the Supreme Brahman, has become their friend and is now crawling in the yard of Nanda. In that purport to that verse, actually it's a different purport, but it's the same idea, it's the same point. Prabhupada quotes this verse twice in one purport, which is very rare, in a matter of like 2 paragraphs. What is that? Shrutim apade smitim itade bhavata mange bhajandu bhavabhita ahamiyanandam bande yasyagande param brahma. So, some fearing birth and death, they worship the Shrutis. Some worship the Smritis. Some worship the Mahabharata. But as for me, I'm worshipping Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Supreme Brahman is crawling. You see? So this is a wonderful, tasty verse, But that's, we should remember that this is, we're entering into, this is the summum bonum, this 10th canto. But this instruction is there. It very much relates to the Bhagavad Gita. And it's for us also. If we become Krishna conscious, then we will be able to overcome all the difficulties in our life. Even the great difficulties of, old age, disease, and even death, by Krishna's grace, by Krishna's prasad. But if we don't hear, we're not attentive, we hold back, then we'll have difficulty. You'll be destroyed. So this is our choice. Okay, I'll leave it there. Anyone have any questions, comments on these few points? I'll read the translation to this verse. To increase the transcendental bliss of the coward men of Gokula, this child will always act auspiciously for you. And by his grace only, you will surpass all difficulties. Yes, go ahead.
In the song Vivari Sesha, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, the chastiser of all dangers. What is the word, the words in that song that are chastiser?
That's a quiz that I'm not going to be able to pass. I like that song, but I forget the actual song. Does anyone remember the phrase there? Yeah, it's a big song. We are going to go through
this
the whole
song. This is a lot of... You don't know.
Chastiser of the dangers?
He says, chastiser of dangers.
Yeah. He destroys the danger. Yeah. But the simple meaning is that he defeats the dangers for us. The dangers are there, but if we're Krishna conscious, then the dangers are mitigated or destroyed. That's the same
idea. I didn't know the words.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
We'll have to look it up. Can you give her? Because she was first.
Very nice, Bhaskaru. Thank you.
God bless you, Prabhupada.
Separation, to feel separation from Krishna, you have to have a taste, you know. I mean, to actually really feel the separation, you have to have a deep love for Krishna. Otherwise, how could feel separation from something you can understand?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I remember in the old days, when we had the morning and the evening program, Prabhupada would you know, say, well, this is how it works. You know, you come before the, he's talking to, you know, us, me and neophytes. So you come to the deities and you see the beautiful dressing and you sing the songs and, you know, and then during the day you try to remember Krishna, and in the evening you're eagerly going to see Krishna, you know, you want to see that curtain open, you know. And so, sure, these are baby steps in separation, but the point is, if you're sincerely serving and hearing about Krishna, see, this is one of the things that we forget. Like, for instance, Lord Chaitanya's Leela, you know, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We know it's very advanced, especially the Ancha Leela, right? All of these ecstatic symptoms and all these different things. So we think, well, that's too advanced for me. But just hearing and reading, it's like Prahlad, say. Prahlad's experience with Hiranyakashipu. Now, if you read that pastime, you have to be pretty stone-hearted not to feel anxiety for Prahlad. You know, if you actually read about who Hiranyakashipu is, you know, I mean, come on, in novels and everything, this is the whole idea, to awaken the emotions because you identify with somebody, you know, in the. So the same thing is true for all of these pastimes. These are real pastimes. That you're just hearing, you're associating with the sound vibration, which is carrying meaning, and you're vibrating sympathetically, if you will, like an instrument. And so you're entering into the pastime. And then when, you know, Hiranyakashipu is slain by Lord Nrisimhadev, he said, "John Nrisimhadev, you know, Prahlad is saved," right? So what does that mean? There's some emotion there. It's not, we're not just going through the motions, but there is some emotion. So you're not pure devotee yet, but you're entering into it. Now the same thing is there. All of the, you know, the beautiful, and I have to get one more chance to praise the dressers and the puja. It is such a you know, a wonderful service, not only to Krishna but to all the Vaishnavas, to the artistry and the devotion that is evidenced on this altar every morning. I just have to, all glories to the pujaris and everyone who's helping maintain this temple. And you know, coming from outside, maybe I'm wowed by it more than you are because you see it every day. But it's just wonderful. So the idea is that there's some feeling there. There's some emotion. There's some attraction that's developed. But you don't see it every day. Oh, we got to go around our business. So try to take the memory with you. You know, try to remember. And best of all, try to, you know, chant the holy name and try to read Krishna book. Remember some of the passages. Share them with your god brothers and god sisters. Take the deity out of the temple, meaning, you know, and keep him in your heart. And then the desire will develop more to run to, you know, when you have an opportunity, the appropriate time, to run to the temple, see the deity, participate. Go take Krishna out to the people who have never heard of him. This is the preaching mood. It's all of a piece. The whole thing is of a piece. If we're kind of struggling in Krishna consciousness, we're not tasting anything, we're, you know, having trouble, it's very difficult to then try to give it to others. But of course, if you force yourself to do it, then that itself gets Krishna's mercy and you get more of a taste. But the idea, you know, Prabhupada's way of organizing the society is that all of these things help each other. If we just have the wherewithal, you know, the will to, yes, okay, I'll come into the temple and I'll be there and chant with the devotees, or at home, you know, but do something, intense Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will reciprocate. And you'll have some, what is he? He's giving you attachment. He's giving you some realization, however minute. And we should build on that. That should build our faith, that the whole thing is real. It's all real. Everything that Prabhupada promises here. I mean, the whole books are filled with assurances that Krishna is there. We're his eternal servants. There's an ocean of happiness. We just have to follow the path in order to awaken it. And then everything becomes, you know, our relationships with the devotees are more Krishna conscious. Our hearts become more peaceful and joyful, and practice of Krishna consciousness, family life, everything. It becomes saturated. So yes, there has to be an attachment in order to feel separation. But we're not barred from that. It's not just that the pure devotees feel attachment. That attachment, you know, grows progressively. And I highly recommend, shlokas, you know, nice prayers, you know, for Krishna. So much beauty that I'll share a few of them. Oh, we're running out of time. Okay, Pran, you're next.
Yes,
but not too long, because we have another scholar over here.
Class, I appreciate it. I wish you would stay here. Maybe you'll move here. I was thinking like Srila Prabhupada's discussion with the priest or minister, priest, I think, that this question was asked, that his conception was the neutrality. You should be peaceful. God is peaceful. Devotee means peaceful. You are a high priest, pope, or whatever the he is peaceful. But Prabhupada smashed the idea he had, not breaking the idea, but adding to it. He said, yes, that is there. Neutrality is there. So that verse, I thought it was very famous, that tam bhakti yoga paribhavita rita saroje asya sruta ikshita patanavana natha. How this takes place, as Mataji says, that we have to associate, associate, associate. More hearing, 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 Krishna enters inside, sruta ikshita, then rita saroje. The appreciation. I have to start appreciating everything. Rita Suraji means the fragrance of appreciation, gratefulness. And if I don't maintain that belief that Krishna will maintain and protect me, then there is no surrender. Bhaktivinoda Thakur very heavily says in the song book. Rakshasa. If I cannot maintain, Brajavasi means that they are always maintaining a belief that Krishna will maintain and protect me.
Yeah. Even in the darkest hour,
yes,
they have the
Then the four ingredients comes. Sohardo, mamata, sneha. That the feeling, gratefulness feeling comes, then the possessiveness comes.
Right.
Then separation comes, not before.
Yeah.
Otherwise not possible.
Yeah, just the translation in general, the verse, if you don't know, Trambhakti Yoga Paribhavata Dicharosa Asa Shutekshita Patol Nananata Pudsam. This wonderful phrase, Shuta Ikshita Patol, the path of seeing through hearing. That's exactly what he means. That this is one of Brahma's prayers to creative energy. He says, those souls, some bhakti yoga paribhavata vitsaroja, that if they're absorbed, then you take your seat on the lotus of their hearts. In whatever form they meditate on you. You're so merciful to the devotees. And then you appear, whatever way they want to think about you, you appear in that form, in their hearts. You know. So, but the key phrase, shuta ikshita patol, that the constant hearing of Krishna's, the holy name, Krishna's passing, the instructions, the shastra, just being saturated, then that awakens. Krishna cleanses from within, the heart. And what's already there is awakened. Mityasiddha Krishna Pani. Mukandiyasa. I'm sorry.
Also, Sastra states very clearly that first, when any disciple will gradually come to the stage of Vishrambhena Guru Seva, because when you first take initiation, there's relationship with Guru, but then that progresses through Diksha, then Shiksha, then Vishrambhena Guru Seva. When a disciple enters Vishrambhena Guru Seva, that time he feels immense affection for his own Gurudev. At the time the Guru enters Samadhi, he gets the first opportunity to have separation mood, because he's experienced love and affection directly with his Guru. He's never seen Krishna Leela. He's heard something. He has not even seen Mahaprabhu's Leela. He's only heard. But his own Acharya Leela of his Gurudev, he's seen. Gurudev was affectionate. How Gurudev taught me. How Gurudev nourished me. So that time in the disciple's heart, great affection is there for his Guru. When his Guru enters Samadhi, that time he develops first time real mood of any separation. Then coming into Mangalarti, he's beginning to think, my Gurudev so kind to me. He revealing Nisanta Leela to me, showing me Radha Krishna, everything. And he's singing samsara prayers in this great mood of separation. Gradually, through the stages, going from Shraddha, in near a Shakti like this, that time he's appreciating bhajan so much, and he's getting some deeper realization in his heart. That time, some separation comes from Mahaprabhu's Leela, because Mahaprabhu revealed Radha Krishna. Then gradually, when he gets to the stage above, that time, there's some Swarup cities coming, some glimpse like that. He has some darshan, Krishna, maybe some spurti thing like that. That time, purva rag virohe comes in his heart. This means he's never seen Krishna before seeing. Purva rag virohe comes in the heart. That time, by the intensity of his sudden bhajan and the mercy of Krishna and Guru, that time separation develops for Krishna. But first separation will be from his own Gurudev. Well, my Guru's intercessor, how can I live? If you look at all Mahaprabhu's associates, they thought like this. Guru left the world, how can I survive, crying, content, all for Gurudev. So first separation will be from Srila Prabhupada. That would be the first thing.
All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.